Praise and thanks be unto the Lord that we have this hope and certainty in us. Because God has given the promise, therefore we can rely on it. If Muhammad would have given it, or somebody else, then we could let ourselves be buried with him. But because God has given the promise, we can rest in it and know that the day comes. Nothing is more sure than the return of the Lord. Nothing is so certain that those who wait for him, and as it is written in Timothy, who love his appearing. There are people who love his appearing. Not only him, but they are longing for it, to be joined with him. Such people we must become. If this is not yet the case, then it must happen very quickly that it becomes like this. You all know the word from Timothy, in which Paul says that the Lord on that day will give the crown, but not only to him, but to all who love his appearing. Who of us can say this? Who can say it tonight? That we not only love the Lord, but his appearing. That it means something for us, touching us on our inside. Here it's written, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. These are people who are also ready, who on the inside, with a deep joy, are waiting for it. And the more we get outwardly in distress and are groaning, the deeper we are joined with God. The more we get plucked off this earth, the more we are joined and united with God. Whoever has, earthly speaking, all the roots still firm here, has them spiritually most certain quite loose. But whoever has plucked them off earthly, he can attach them in God. What a privilege. Today, I brought with me a sermon of Brother Branham with the title, A Prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I just read some pages. It had much to say to me. Before we read some passages, I would have liked to speak to somebody who was already a prisoner. It's always so easy in the theory to philosophize, also about spiritual things. But as the reality looks like, this nobody knows unless he experienced it. And there are many who have heard of the Russian or Chinese prisoners, what they experienced, and also who were in the German captivity. But if one would ask these people who experienced this, who really were robbed of every right, who were prisoners. I have seen prisoners. I have seen captured Russians. I brought them bread. They were fenced in. On top was the barbed wire. Down was a normal wire. But these people, they had no right anymore. They were in a foreign country. With them, one could do what one liked. The victor had the say-so over them. If we have become prisoners of the Lord, and when He has conquered us and defeated our lives, then He has the say-so. Only then we are prisoners of Jesus Christ. Not when we walk around freely and philosophize of captivity or of our life with Jesus and live our own lives, but only then, when all these things really have become divine reality in our life, only then our testimony is in agreement with the Word of God. And also this thought here, which Paul expresses, that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day the crown of righteousness, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Not only apostles and prophets will be crowned, not only men of God, but all who believed their testimony, and they are classified. You all know the scripture, the statement of our Lord. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, he shall receive the prophet's reward. One doesn't have to be a prophet and not an apostle to be rewarded one day, but one has to recognize before God that God has sent apostles and prophets, and one has to receive the divine message which they brought and love the Lord who sent them with all their heart, and thus waiting for His appearing. Of them, there are not too many yet who obey everything what the Lord requires. But we are on the way to it. Brother Schmidt read the precious word. Every verse, every line, every thought is precious. But this one verse hit me. It's verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. It wasn't just that the Lord said something to them, but they have seen, they have heard, they were present when God did things. Today we live with the Lord. And if we live with Him, walk with Him, when His word is addressed to us, if we are really in the kingdom of God, then we must today become witnesses of that what God is doing today, not of that what is now in the past. This others have seen, this others have heard. We live today. We must hear what the Spirit says unto the churches today, and we must experience it and receive it. For me, it's of great significance to not just be a preacher of the Word, but to see the presence of God the testimonies of God, the speakings of God, the glory of God, to see it, to hear it, and to experience it while God manifests himself on earth. Then the thought is added, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Both belongs together. Whoever has the word of prophecy, he will be in connection with God who spoke it and who revealed it. When I speak with you, then I have fellowship with you. Then there is a connection. When God speaks with us, then he has fellowship with us. Then there's a connection, and out of this connection with God come forth all the experiences which we make with God. Here, in this sermon, Brother Branham gives an example. I will read it just now. It also touched my heart, because there it's reported that the glory of God came down. The text of this sermon is in Philemon. It's only one chapter. Here it says in Philemon 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Here we have the thought which I expressed already, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was taken captive under the obedience of the will of God, plucked out of that what he knew before, what he got taught, and what he planned to do, and being led into the revelation of God, into the will of God, and thus he became a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The Lord who redeemed him, who called him, who put him into the ministry, he should now alone rule over him. Then it says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. A young man, not an opa, not a man with great life experience, but a young man, dedicates his life to God. And of this young man, it can be said already, as we read, that even Paul was refreshed, and the hearts of the saints through that what the Lord could work in this young man. What does God want today? What does he seek today? Young men, young women, all of us who we are here today, And most of us, they have lived their lives already. So the Lord wants to urge us to live the rest for Him, to become His prisoners, to put up our hands. I've said it here before. I have the privilege in my life to have experienced the war and captivity. I have seen how a four-star general has put up his hands. I watched it. To surrender means hands up. It was over. Hands up. That's how you go into captivity. And you go where you don't like to go. All of us, we must learn and understand what it means. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. If we still live, He cannot live. If He lives, then we can't live anymore. Either we follow our own thoughts and our own will, or we are ready to do the will of God so that He can live His life through us. As I said earlier, a philosophizing about all these things does not help us, but only if these things can become reality. For we have great joy and consolation in Thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by Thee, brother. This I wish all my young brothers, with all my heart, that this testimony could be given to you. When I was young, some could say He quickened our hearts by a word or testimony. I wish it to you with all my heart that it could be said, we have been blessed. The young brother gave a testimony. We have been strengthened in our faith. Now, let us read some things from this sermon, which most certainly will become precious to us. You reflect a light from somewhere. If you are a Christian, this is your shadow, which proves that there is a life where you cannot die anymore. For this life has death in itself. This earthly life has death in itself from the first breath, for it is said unto man to live and to die, and afterward judgment. Hebrews 9:27. This earthly life has death in itself, but the Lord has come into this earthly life to take away the power of death, to pull out the sting of death from this life. For God has given us eternal life, and therein is no death anymore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was once and for all settled, and with this it's finished. In the divine life, there is no death anymore. It continues, see, it's a shadow, because you are living, moving creatures with abilities to see, think, move, and talk, 5 senses of the body. But yet you know that you have to die, and there's so much trouble. You know It can only be the reflection, for life and death are mixed together. In this body, in this earthly life, yes, but then no more. Here is sorrow, here is pain, here are tears, here is sorrow, and here is trouble, and the end is then death. And recently, I many times was thinking about life and death. And it's really true, whoever lived without God, his life was not worth it to be lived. What has the world to offer, even earthly speaking? Everything what seems to be sweet has somehow a bitter aftertaste. It says here, if we have become light, if our life is in conformity with the light of the day, then we walk in the light. Not only that it would have become light, but the illumination struck us, so that we walk in conformity of the word which is determined for this time. And then we are the children of the day. And we don't stumble anymore, because from the word we see where we walk. It continues here. So we see that as sure as the Holy Spirit reflects light and life, so does death reflect darkness. So, the Holy Spirit radiates light and life. Death radiates darkness. And here, Brother Branham says, the evil spirit is dark. It is as if your life is overshadowed. The evil spirit is dark, and we know that he does everything in darkness because he is dark himself. God is light, and whosoever follows him shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Not only in words. Oh, how many evangelists and preachers have proclaimed this word, and it was not fulfilled with them. God wants that every word can be fulfilled with us. Now comes something of an experience which touches me. About 1 week ago, we sent tapes into all the world. The Seven Seals has got back into the islands of Jamaica, where I was missionarying. There, behind the Blue Mountains, everything is very primitive. Sometimes the natives have an old tape recorder which somebody has to crank a few times. This group had a little battery, 6-volt battery, playing the tape recorder, and they were sitting together as we sit here tonight, and they were listening to those seals. That's how it was. And while I was speaking, they noticed how that same pillar of fire came into the room, moved over there where the tape recorder was, and settled down over the top of it. And they went and got a camera and took the picture of it. And just the same one, there it is, hanging right there over it. Now we are getting it blowed up so that we can put it on the billboard out there so that you can see it. I had to think about it. That these simple people believe with all their heart and are joined on the inside with God, that He can come down in such a way, testifying of Himself. We hear the most mighty things, but we are not touched. We are not moved. We are not pulled away. We hear again, without that God has the opportunity to repeat all that. Not that these people were praying for it. It happened because in reverence they were coming together before God. And perhaps a Omar has said, Lord, you can also come down in our midst as you did when the seals were preached there. Who knows? And already the Lord fulfilled the wish and the longing of these people. The convincing part of this report is therein that a camera was fetched and that a picture was made which should then hang on that billboard there. Not that we seek such things. God reserves Himself what He wants to do and not what we want. This we all know. We are no children anymore. Although, when I think on Hebrews 6, where Paul says that we are no longer children who drink milk, but should eat meat, sometimes we choke even on the milk. And then is the question, how shall we eat solid food? To me, it stood out that the people of Israel actually had a wonderful journey until that moment when they should cross over into the promised land. Earlier, God prepared all the ways. Everything was nicely leveled. If they would not have been in unbelief, they would have reached the destination without problem. But when it was so far that they had to cross over into the land, the 10 said very clearly that they don't believe and pulled others with them, putting them also into unbelief. But 2 were ready to believe. You know, if one has understood what God wants, then we have to face the task of God. Sometimes we miss the mark, but then we don't stop, but we walk on. And every one of us who once played soccer, he knows very well that every striker kicked many more balls next to the goal than into it. But the kicks which missed were never counted. I have heard never anyone who would have counted all the kicks which missed the goal. No man is so stupid. All these people who watch it, they don't count the missing kicks, but they shout and they jubilate and rejoice when the thing is in the goal. then they have a right to say, today were 3 goals. And do you know what also happens? This we all experienced. I was always a good runner since my childhood. I played sometimes this role. And whoever gives then his very best, he also comes then in the penalty area. And then sometimes the whistle blows. But whoever is somewhere and just watches, he's never in the penalty area. Yeah. The whistle never blows. They can all watch. Why do I say these things? To remind on sports? Most surely not. We are in a divine battle. And if sometimes when we attack the devil and we miss the mark, then we don't count these things because God doesn't count it either. With God only these things count who hit the goal, and practice makes perfect. What do you think? How nicely this thing is at the end. But we are in the midst of this game. And we are not ready to give up, but to continue with God. We cannot do otherwise, but to face the Lord and the great task. Here it continues. We are so grateful for the grace of God that has brought us into His presence this day. We are so grateful for many things. Yes, for everything what comes from God, we are grateful. Only this counts. Everything else does not count. The Lord said once, the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. And this is really like this. But there is the divine wisdom, and we should make use of it. We should participate when He gives it. Here it continues, Wednesday night prayer meeting is just a short meeting where we get together and pray as we have and associate together. Sometimes I believe one of the great things that I find in this day is the lack of sincerity of what we believe. If God, in the days of John Wesley, would have done in that day what He has done today, what would it have done in the days of Martin Luther, or what more, and so forth? The Lord God came down in the pillar of fire, has spoken to us bindingly, has revealed unto us the mysteries of His word and His will. And nevertheless, there are enough people who bypass it and who believe that what they always believed. Why did the glory of God come down? Because people in the presence of God with fear and trembling, not because they were afraid, but in reverence, they were gathered in the presence of the Lord, and they believed sincerely. Where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, there He is in the midst of them. Here, Paul continues, I want, from the first verse, I just want to take one or two words. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to use tonight as a text, the Lord willing, is a prisoner. Let me read this short passage. Now, you could hardly imagine Paul regarding himself a prisoner, a born free man, filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet he calls himself a prisoner. And now we find out, when he's addressing the Corinthians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Another time, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. When he's speaking to Timothy and different ones. Now, when he's writing here to Philemon, he said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle. I would like to preach one night on that. Paul, a servant. Preach on that. And then, Paul, a prisoner. About this I speak tonight. For it would take hours to duly consider one of these subjects. Tonight, I would like to speak on Paul the prisoner. Not only Paul, but I, Brother Frank, and you, brother, and you, sister, all of us, we must understand today that we, in the place of Paul, have to insert our names. What good would it be for us if Paul was a servant of God, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, ready to meet the Lord, loving his appearing, led by the Holy Spirit into all the truth? If all these things would be for us just an object lesson, but that we could not place our names there. That also these things, which were revealed to us by the Word, can become reality. How many of us do really expect it? How many do not only pray for it, but they count with it that it takes place? How many are in an holy discontent that it could not take place yet? We don't want to be unthankful. But nevertheless, I think a sound discontent that God could not yet come to his right is justified. If we come to the point that we say, Lord, we can't go on like this unless you testify of yourself in our midst as the risen one, as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then it must, then it will take place. Now it comes. Don't judge your life by how much power you have to perform miracles. And we don't judge ourselves by how much knowledge you have of the Word, but always judge yourself, look back, and taking inventory of what kind of a fruit that the life you presently live now is bearing. On their fruits ye shall know them. Not on gifts and not on tasks, not on that what we could bring with us, but on that, what as a fruit can come forth from our life, which was given to us by God. Let us take ourselves the time and let us make this inventory. I also have to do it. What kind of a fruit could the Spirit of God work in us? In Galatians 5, the 9 fruits of the Spirit are listed clearly, and the question is whether they could grow, whether they came forth, or whether nothing came up yet. It must come up in our lives. If it doesn't come up, then it cannot grow. And what does not grow can also not come to maturity. If we know that at the harvest time everything must be ripe, then let us ask ourselves very seriously whether the divine things came up, let alone whether they are ripe. This we can still ask, but most certainly only at the end, and not at the beginning. Firstly, a seed has to be sown, and this seed must not be sown into a thorny field, not on a stony ground, not thrown by the wayside, where it is trampled underfoot, but on a good ground of the heart. The seed must be sown, and then it must come up. But then the thorns and everything what can bring sorrow, and this we must say to all of us, I at the first place. Our Lord says it in the example, probably in Matthew 13, that even the cares of life can come to overshadow this seed, to choke it. And didn't we all find this out when we speak about the things which God has done and rejoice about it, thinking positive, then we are healthy. But if we deal with negative things and with all what goes with it, then we get sick and are discouraged. This is with all of us, or not? Are you not still humans? Of course. Our feelings are the same. Now we must recognize what harms us and what helps us, what hinders us and what encourages us, what separates us from God and what brings us forward with Him. We must be once real enough and say to us and to one another that everything what hinders us and paralyzes and lets us not follow the Lord in faith, it cannot come from Him. For everything what comes from Him leads to Him, edifies and strengthens us in the faith and in our spiritual life. So, we shall make an inventory to see what kind of fruit comes forth in our life. The Lord wants that this fruit is now really being seen. It continues. As I preached some time ago at a businessman's meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, of the reflection of Jesus. Reflecting Christian life. So, our Lord shall be reflected by our lives. And here no theory helps. Also no good suggestions and advices. Here helps only one thing, to recognize the will of God and to be ready to do it. It continues, so I said, we too are reflecting something. See, our life is reflected. And now, if we lived in the days of Noah, whose side would we take? What side would we took in that great day that Noah lived? And now some things are listed. What side would we took in the days of Moses? What side in the days of Moses, Abraham, and whoever the prophets were? Up to John the Baptist, our Lord, the apostles, and up into our time. What is the special on the divine message? Is it a doctrine? Is it a knowledge? No. The special in these days among the people of God is therein that the Lord brought us up to date in His kingdom and has shown us, according to the promises of His word, what should take place in this time. And we are in the midst of the fulfillment of all these things which God promised and which He does now. The difference between them who follow the Lord and who follow Him not is just therein that some are not ready to walk on with the Lord according to the revelation of His word and of His will, and to be in conformity with His word and with His will until the end. Today, it is not enough to be in conformity what happened 400 or 30 or 40 years ago, but with that what God does today. With this, we have to be in conformity. And to be very clear now, there are enough people who refer to Brother Branham, and they go into all kinds of directions, but not into the one in which he walked. And they say all kinds of things, but not what he said. I told it to you before. In Singapore, I had a conversation with a man who was self-absorbed. I don't know why, but it was just like that. And he said, "Brother Frank, I will write about this subject. I will publish a brochure." I say, "Brother, what do you want to write?" "Yeah, I want to write and I want to set forth the things." I said, "Don't you think that Brother Branham said the things clear enough?" "No, there are too many misunderstandings and they must be cleared out." Sometime later, I received his brochure onto my desk and then I read. I smile now, but it makes you cry. Who would I, you, or someone else be that we wanted to sit down to write about a topic and philosophize about what God has given clarity and truth, and which only remains hidden to them who stubbornly hold on to their traditions and who do not let themselves be brought up to date in the kingdom of God? There are such insulting things written in it that it is even impossible to speak of them. But what do I want to say with it? People preach the message, but as the prophet brought it, so it was not correct. So they have to correct things. No, nobody gets away with that before God. God has sent the prophet for it, to correct you and me, to correct anyone who wants to stand before God or not. Do we want to correct God? Do we want to correct His prophets? Or are we here to let God correct us through His revealed word and to be led into all the truth by the Holy Spirit? It says, what side would you have taken? Now, don't say, point, 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 your life that you live now reflects now just what you would have done then. Because you still are possessed with the same spirit. If you take that side now with them, you would have done it then. Because the same spirit that's in you now was in the people then. This we believe with all our hearts. All in whom the Spirit of God truly was, took the side of God, and with it on the side of them through whom the Word of God came. And by it, they were not taking the side of a man. It looked like it. But actually, they have taken the side of God, who simply spoke through men. It continues, it goes from one man to the other. The very same spirit that was upon Elijah came upon Elisha. What was it? The man believed with all his heart that this man was sent by God. And later on, even the double portion came upon him. Consider now the difference between Elisha and Gehazi. When Naaman came from Syria, from Damascus, to speak with Elijah, or was it Elisha already? Yes, of course, this was Elisha. Sure. And he said, he didn't come out to him at all. He said, when I remember the story well, tell him that he should immerse 7 times in the River Jordan and then he is healed. And when this man heard this news, he became angry and said, this dirty river, we have nice waters with us. There I can wash myself. And then the men who traveled with him, they said, listen, if the man of God would have demanded something difficult from you, then you would have done it. Why don't you do it? Just do this light thing and immerse 7 times in the River Jordan. And behold, he did it. And when he came up the 7th time, his skin was pure as of a little child. That's what the Bible says. Perfectly clean. What did make him clean? The dirty water of the River Jordan? Most certainly not. The word of the Lord was spoken. And already it took place. But you know what also happened? Gehazi, he thought by himself, when this man was gone, this servant here, he didn't take anything. I will go after him and say, listen, there is a feast and I need costumes and so forth. And this he did. And what happened then? What happened? He comes back to the man of God and he asks, where were you? And he says, don't speak long. I watched you. You ran after me. Why did you do that? And he says, the leprosy of Naaman is now on you. And already he walked away with his leprosy. And here we notice that in the kingdom of God, no business can be made, but everything what happens, happens by grace with them and through them who were ordained by God for it. No one can come and hold up his hand, otherwise it can happen that something comes upon them what they don't want. There are so many lessons in the Word of God. Here it says, oh, it must have been something terrific for this man that all of his ambitions that he had to find out all at once he had been persecuting. We speak here of Saul of Tarsus. He wanted to serve God with all his heart. He was so convinced that he does it. And behold, that what God did in those days, he persecuted it so much. And therefore, hear the statement, all of his ambitions that he had, namely to serve God, to build the kingdom of God, to do the will of God, all this he destroyed. And suddenly comes the turnaround. The Lord appears to him in the light, in the pillar of fire. And already all the teachings of Gamaliel came to its end. And he was taught by God. He went into the wilderness of Arabia and remained there about 3.5 years and then returned, being taught by God. You know, I was reading this word today. I thought it suitable for a circular letter when this man of God, here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, I must look it up. Verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. It doesn't help anyone to say, I'm anointed with the Spirit and I have the gifts and I'm a prophet. Is he? And does the anointing really rest upon him? Then there will be an agreement with that what God has spoken through his servants and prophets and apostles by the same anointing of the Holy Spirit. And there it starts already with the first subject, with the subject about the Godhead. Somebody may say, it doesn't matter now whether one believes this way or that way. No, one is right and the other is wrong. And one cannot have both right, the one and the other. No, it must be right. You know very well. This example now does not fit here. But whoever believes in God, just now a human comparison, may God forgive me. But if you have a table with 3 feet, then it stands. Then at least you have a table. But if you put it upside down, what do you have then? What do you have then? Nothing at all. A thing with 3 feet. It's not so easy. One cannot say, three agree in one. One just has to say that the one true eternal God has revealed himself as Father and then in the Son and then through the Holy Spirit. One cannot put a thing upside down and then say the thing is all right. It's not all right and you cannot put anything on it. You cannot eat of it anymore, because then you have no table anymore, but a thing with 3 feet on top. May God forgive me this comparison. But that's how it is. And then there are still people who say, why did Branham make himself so many enemies? Shouldn't eternity decide that? No, God had to reveal the truth. God had to separate light from darkness. It had to be revealed. He who believes with his mind and he who is ready to believe what God has said. For there are only two things in these last days. Some are under the influence of Christ and the others under the influence of the Antichrist. And in between there's nothing. Most people like to be in between, dancing on two wedding feasts at the same time. They want to be with God in heaven and also with the kings on earth. No, this is impossible. Our God has spoken in a very clear way, binding for all of us in these days. He who doesn't hear it, to him God has not opened his understanding. With him he didn't deal yet. It still can come, but then it didn't take place yet. If it really took place, then revelation, scriptural, biblical, divine revelation, which agrees with all the apostles and prophets, must be given to each individual by grace. There is no other way. You see what's happening in this world. The Antichrist bewitches all of mankind, and he speaks and has religious texts and slogans, speaking always of them. And as the Holy Scripture says, as the angel of light dressed in white, and all fall at his feet. And what did Brother Branham say in that sermon? Satan wanted worship. He wanted homage. He wanted to exalt himself. He wanted to be like God. And then he was cast down. And he says, since then, he wanted to bring the people on earth to the point that they pay obeisance to him. And he says, this happens in the last days. In the Antichrist, Satan incarnates himself under a religious mask. And then I shall believe what he believes. This is impossible. When the people believe the Godhead, as the Antichrist taught it from the beginning, and say he is false and they are right, if they baptize as he baptizes, using the same formula as he uses it, and all his helpmates, since when are two things which are the same no more the same? Oh, that we would grasp it and be serious in the matter and say, my God, here it's not about words, not about terms. Here it is about that in the last days, the divine truths once again were put upon the lampstand. And if one truth is missing, then one member of the chain is missing, and soon it will break. So, God wants to walk forward with us, giving us grace that we recognize his ways in these days. Could not also Brother Branham have walked a broad way together with all the others? Why did he have to walk such a thorny, such a steep, such a narrow path? Didn't the people say, listen, teach us about the gifts of the Spirit? And he answers, you didn't even understand the ABC. And this must happen with us. We must understand the ABC. God must be able to rely on us. And we must believe with all our hearts. that the Lord has spoken through his servants and prophets. If somebody thinks he is a prophet, he has gifts of the Spirit, he has the anointing, then he shall take this word to heart. The man of God said, if somebody claims, then he shall know that what is written here is the commandment of the Lord. And at that time, they laughed about Paul. And they said, in his letters, he is mighty, but in his speech and in his appearing, he is weak. What was it? People also then did not recognize that God spoke through him and that the plan of salvation took place also then. We are grateful to the Lord that in these days we may recognize that God brings his plan to the completion, that he has sent his servant and prophet to bring us back to the original word and will of God. Let us give up all own things. May God's grace, may God's wisdom and God's power be with us. May we put up our hands and surrender to God and say, Lord, I want to be a prisoner. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. Here I am. Do with me what you like. And you, young brothers, take to heart the word which Paul addressed to his friend and co-worker Philemon, that your testimonies and whatever God uses you for become a blessing to other believers and saints for edification. When the elderly give a testimony, then it's a matter of course. But when young people can testify what the Lord has done with them, how he led them, and what kind of blessings they experienced with God, this is a totally different thing. Old people have some things to say, but the young may also say it, if they made their experience with the Lord. I would once again dedicate my life to the Lord. Oh, when I think about that no day, no hour, no opportunity will ever come back in all these past 50 years which are behind me. Nothing comes back. It's over forever. Oh, there I want to say, like Brother Branham, Lord, help me. Be merciful to me that I use the rest of my life for you and that I live for the glory and praise of your name. Prisoners of Jesus Christ, devotional people who believe him and who trust him, not making a pious face, but divine reality in your and in my life. Today the Lord calls us to follow him, to belong to him, to fully dedicate our lives to him. And he is here to receive us fully and to bless us from the riches of his grace. To him be the glory for it. Amen. Let us stand up. Heavenly Father, how wonderful is your word, but how serious. How serious, O God, how serious. Lord, you see us all. You know our thoughts and hearts. Lord, may we live for you, being here for you, that we no more live for ourselves, but live for you. Faithful Savior, you have a remnant of people who have cancelled themselves, putting their hands up, who surrender, who want to be captives. Lord, receive us. As your prisoners, we have been set free, and we may enjoy the liberty of the children of God. O Lord, Almighty God, receive us all, young and old, great and little, whether we know much or nothing. Lord, may we find grace in your sight tonight. May your glory come down in our midst. Restore unto us the years, and be merciful to us, for the sake of your wonderful name. To you be the thanks for everything, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.